This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to episode 107 of the Podium Finish Live, or TPF Live. I'm Rob Tiansen, joined alongside Brooklyn Jackson and our newest staff writer, Sky Twig. It's an exciting show during this International Women's Month because I'm surrounded by two women who really know their stuff about racing. So one of them's been around since last year, and Sky just literally joined this week if you watched the reveal video that we did on social media. So it's going to be a really fun post-Las Vegas, pre-Phoenix Spring edition. Notice I had to delineate which version of the Phoenix race we're going to be previewing because, of course, again this year, Phoenix will be the site of the NASCAR Championship weekend. But we're not that far along yet. I mean, it would be nice to get to November, but we still have, what, 7-8 more months to go? So let's not jump the boat just yet, but it's going to be a good show for sure. And before we get going and introduce Sky, the intention for this week was to go and have Adam Alexander of Fox NASCAR as our guest. But as of Thursday, we learned on social media that unfortunately a member of his family passed away. So the entire Podium Finish team sends their condolences and thoughts to Adam Alexander and his family during this difficult time. And certainly we look forward to airing his interview in a future episode, but out of respect to Adam and for his privacy, we're not going to air his interview this week. So Adam, we hope everything will be okay, and just know the entire racing community is with you, my friend. So thoughts and prayers for sure to you. Now with that, folks, why don't we go ahead and bring in my co-host for this week? So let's hear from Brooklyn and then from Sky. How are you ladies doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I cannot complain. Like we were saying before we started recording, this seems like the longest, fastest week of the year so far. So some are on Wednesday, but yet it feels like it's been kind of like moving pretty slowly, I'd say.
This week has flown by for me. In like retrospective, it hasn't felt that way like when I'm actually like in the day like working, but looking back, like it's Wednesday night and I'm like, oh dang, it's Wednesday night. Okay.
We're just a couple more days from Phoenix, really. How about you, Sky? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. I'm very happy to be on. I'm excited to be on to the team. Like you said, I'm the newest member, so I'm just very excited.
I'm super stoked to have you on, and I love the way we introduced you just because we never really did like an SNL type skit to introduce a new person to our team. And the moment I knew we were going to have you on the team, I was like, we've got to do it in a way that is very much like you, because you're this really ingenious, like it's so ingenious but so cool what you do with your socials, TikTok and Instagram reels. I just love how you're yourself with those reels.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been doing it for a little while, so it's nice to see a little bit of result from it, from doing it for a very long time. But yeah, it's been fun. I'm don't know what's happening, but I'm just along for the ride and I'm just excited. So,
and in case y'all don't know what we're talking about, Sky Socials has skyrocketed in terms of following in the past few weeks. She's humbled by it, but I'm not surprised by it. The right people and right fans are noticing what she's been doing on socials. And in fact, I was like, yeah, we got to get her on our team. We want to learn from her and try to be like a boss like her. So hopefully this year we'll be a little bit more hip with the younger audiences out there with our social media efforts, including yours truly. I know I'm a little bit of a dorkus out there in the NASCAR circles, but we'll do our best to kind of be hip to the square. I do want to give a shout out to Jenna May Lingle for referring Sky over to our team. So thank you, Jenna, for doing so. And speaking of Jenna, I'm super stoked because she, along with Josh Jones and Daniel Rankin, they're going to be taking photographs of the Worth 400 race weekend at Dover Motor Speedway later next month. So we've got a lot on the plate, if you will, with all these new folks that are going to be contributing. So I love it. I love that we are having so much energy with this outlet. So in the coming days and weeks and months, years. You're going to see a lot of new faces and new places on our outlet. But before we get into all the nitty-gritty here on our show, why don't we hear from our presenting sponsor, SpoilerDiecast.com. Hey there, racing fans. Are you on the lookout for the latest NASCAR, IndyCar, or F1 diecasts in the market? Well, look no further than SpoilerDiecast.com for the latest and greatest and fastest shipping in the industry. And did you know if you use code TPF on orders of $20 or more, you'll get free shipping and 5% off of your orders? And that's really easy money to save. So head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com and use code TPF to get 5% off of your orders of $20 or more. And if you happen to be in the area in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Spoiler Diecast is now open for business at their storefront location at 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E, Fort Wayne, Indiana. SpoilerDiecast.com for the latest and greatest in diecast collectibles. We'll see you in the fast lane. And yes, folks, you should definitely be shopping on SpoilerDiecast.com because they've got some brand new diecasts at last. In fact, I'm holding one in my hand right here. It's a 2024 Kyle Larson 164 scale diecast car from Lionel Racing, the ARC line. Nice packaging. It's really cool. It looks really neat. And pretty soon, the big sister will be arriving onshore to the US. So use that promo code TPF to get 5% off and free shipping on your orders of $20 or more. Evan and his team are the fastest shippers in the diecast industry. I can attest to that. It's almost like being back in the 1990s and having a 17-second pit stop in 1997. Yes, I'm a dork. I know. I know too much. But anyways, support us. Support our friends. Make me happy, and everyone will be happy. All right. Well, with that, folks, why don't we head on over to the big segment of our show, Podium Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. Now, it's safe to say that Kyle Larson just absolutely decimated the competition last Sunday in the Penske 400 presented by Jiffy Lube because, my goodness, he did not want to share the lead with anybody, it seemed, as soon as he got to the lead in the opening laps of the race. Now, Joey Logano, the pole sitter, he showed some speed, he showed some power in that number 22 Penske Ford Mustang Dark Horse, but to be honest, it was just like Kyle Larson was the kid in the kindergarten class who just didn't want to share his toys. And can you blame him? He didn't want to. And in fact, he led over 67% of the race on Sunday. The only thing that could slow him down was the red flag period that happened because of Chris Buescher losing a right front tire that caused him to hit the turn two wall and caused two of his pit crew members to go on vacation. Although, as of press time, they are appealing the penalties, so those penalties have been deferred by NASCAR, so they are, as of right now, allowed to be at Phoenix. We'll follow what's going on next weekend if they're going to still be around or if they're going to be taking a trip to Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you. Okay, I don't want to get in trouble with the Beach Boys for singing, but anyways, ladies, we know that Larson was just dominant. He was so scary, like how he was last fall. So we'll start off with Brooklyn and hear from Sky. How dangerous is this number five team this year? Did they make a statement in terms of what they could do this season so early on in 2024?
I mean, Kyle Larson's someone you can never count out, right? I mean, he's a NASCAR Cup Series champion, and I mean, he's Kyle Larson. He can win in literally anything with an engine. So, I mean, I think it's definitely a good sign if you're the five team that you have this much momentum early in the season and are able to show that you're working as this well as a team, I mean, from right out of the gate.
Yes. I mean, I think everybody knew going into Las Vegas that it was going to be the Kyle Larson show. He did it last year, so I'm not surprised. I knew that the five team is probably going to be very dominant this entire year, if not make it to the final four. But like you said earlier, that's a little far away yet, so we won't. We won't talk too much about that, but I think, Kyle Larson continues to prove why he's one of the best, if not the best, that is on the track every week.
And it's just so scary because the fact remains is that they have the oldest body style in NASCAR. When I say old, it's not like it's 30 years old. It's only a year old. But we have to remember the Ford Mustang Dark Horse, it just literally got hatched this year. And Toyota rolled out what they called the Hammerhead edition of the Toyota Camry XSE. And in my opinion, it seems like the Toyotas built their car deliberately to be slow during qualifying but excellent in race trim, as we saw with Tyler Reddick. I mean, every time he could get track position, he was able to challenge Kyle Larson. And if it wasn't for him sliding into his pit stall or his pit crew making mistakes on pit road, he probably would have smoked the field too. But the thing is that Larson was just. He was like the student who studied so hard for that test, looked forward to the SATs, passed the SATs, and everyone else is like, "What? He got out of there that quick? Like, that's not fair." But it's just a testament to how good Hendrick and Chevrolet are. But we know the season's young. We know that Toyota, obviously, they're pretty good. They believe in quality over quantity. And also, too, let's talk about the fact that, Joey Logano finally got out. He got out of the hole, in my opinion, because it was a rough start for him this year. He was only in 31st place in points and only had 18 points in his name, which was unheard of because honestly, at Daytona, he was probably the best car. Got swept up in that late race accident on lap 192. Nothing to show for because he didn't have stage one and 2 points. Then in Atlanta, kind of the same thing. He came back from the spider web incident, which I'm not gonna get into, just I'm but all I'm gonna say is it didn't matter. He still had a good car. Unfortunately, turn two again. You got bit by a little incident from that situation in Atlanta. But at Las Vegas, it seemed like even though they didn't have the long run speed, they were able to kind of get the handling a little bit better in his car. And he and Ryan Blaney, they definitely showcase some speed and prowess. So I know, Scott, you kind of keep your eyes really closely on the Team Penske boys. I mean, what was your overall assessment with their performance at Las Vegas?
I mean, I'm really happy with the 12 this year. I think Blaney's been just amazing, and he doesn't have a hangover, as they always like to say, good old championship hangover. So I think that he's doing really well, and I'm really happy with that. I'm so happy that Joey got a ninth place finish. I know that sounds probably goofy, but like you said, he wasn't doing too good, hadn't had a lot to show for the first two races of the season. So I was happy he could get something that he could finish and not be like in the back of the pack. I think Cindric's doing really well this year too. I mean, obviously it's only been three races, can't jump the gun yet, but he's impressed me so far. So I'm really happy with the three of them this year for sure.
Yeah, the Team Penske boys as a whole, they look a lot more impressive this year as a whole than they were last year at this time. I mean, Cindric finally is showcasing why he's in that two car, aside from what happened in 2022 with the Daytona victory. And then we always know that Logano's good. It was just kind of an uncharacteristic year last year where he said himself in his SiriusXM show, "I didn't have a lot of fun," which was a little concerning to hear a two-time champion say that. And then Ryan Blaney, we know he was the new closer. He knew when to show up when it mattered, especially with that Game 7 moment at Martinsville winning that race. And then at Phoenix, he just did enough to go and beat Kyle Larson on the track and in points, of course, by one position. I mean, that's all it took to win the championship. You gotta be lucky, but you gotta be great. And look at the point standings right now. It's no surprise to see that three of the four principals in the championship four occupy four of those spots. Larson's leading by 8 points over Blaney. We got Martin Truex Jr., the 2017 champion, trailing just by 14. And oh, by the way, Mr. William Byron is only in fourth place. And if it wasn't for a lousy trash bag, a darn trash bag, he probably could have been up there battling with Reddick and Larson. I mean, we'll get into that in a bit, but oh my goodness, I've never seen anyone have garbage happened to them in a race. So, oh my goodness gracious, that was insanity to see that happen. And we'll dive into that here later on in the podium perspectives in what we'll call the Goodies Headache Powder Award segment. We're not sponsored by them, but it's a good old NASCAR reference from the old days. I get a chill looking at them. And I know in a couple of weeks when I go to COTA, it's like I get excited to see them more than I see the drivers. So I'm looking forward to, yeah, I think of them as celebrities if you think about them. I mean, when you buy merchandise, right? You're not buying the action figures of the drivers, you're in the machines.
The
I'm holding
cars,
one, the cars. I've got one in my hand that you can, well, kind of see. So I mean, that's what I come there for, is these. Now, of course, the people come, maybe come back, but I'm not buying like, oh, there's a Kyle Larson action figure, because they don't have them anyways. And even if they did, I don't need to get that. They're stories to me and good people, but I'm not those crazy people who are like, I need to get my Star Trek action figure, like this guy here. That's the only thing I'll nerd out on, but yeah.
I definitely relate to that. Like, obviously, whenever you see a driver, you're like, oh, hey, like that's Chris Buescher or Ryan Blaney or whoever. But whenever you see the car, you're like, no, oh, that's 20. Like, it's almost the same exact thing. You're like, the 20, the 9, the 15.
It's exciting to see. And I know when you get to see your first race later this year, you're gonna, yeah, it's better to see them in person than it is looking at our, I mean, our photographers do a hell of a job, right? But
Oh, amazing.
amazing job. But when you see these in person, it's like,
There's nothing like it.
exactly.
I'm so ready for my first race this season.
And I can't wait for folks to find out what race that is. I have a good feeling that
I
I know what that race is, and I'm not spoiling it just yet, but when we get closer to it, you'll get to tell me all about it.
know. I
And
think people will be kind of surprised, honestly.
yeah, they will be,
I don't
because
know
they're
that they
probably,
would guess this one unless they like know me and know like what kind of tracks I like.
because most of them are probably thinking the obvious answer. And I'm just gonna say,
Kansas. I mean, if you've listened, like I've talked about going to Kansas and I've been to Kentucky, but that's obviously that was not as a journalist, but I have been to Kansas as a journalist. But this is not that. We are going to a new place.
We're going to the Wild Wild West. That's all I'm gonna say, folks. I'm
All
so
the teasers.
yeah, just figure it out, folks, from there. So Wild Wild West, that's all I'm gonna say. And that's also kind of my hint too for my one of my races this year, is I'm gonna go Wild Wild West myself. But
The
I
same
won't
Wild
spoil that
Wild
yet.
West or a metaphorical Wild Wild West?
For me, my standards, because I'm from Boston, anything west of Texas is
That's very true.
the
Either of ours could be
Wild
either. The
Wild
physical
West.
Wild Wild West or the metaphorical.
Right. And in my case, I'm thinking, do I want to look like Clint Eastwood in one of those Western spaghetti style movies? Do I need to get like the poncho and the blanket and like a little toothpick in my mouth? Like, should I do that look? I don't know.
Oh
We'll
my
figure
goodness.
that out. But yeah, it would be a hilarious little look for me. But yeah, little fun nuggets we're getting, or Larry McNuggets, as we'd like to see on our show, about what our plans are for this year. But yeah, see, we just deviated from Kyle Larson to Wild Wild West and future plans. And let's talk about the new days of NASCAR, because on Friday night, I thought we saw one of the best truck races in recent memory, with Roger Kaluth winning his first career NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race in the Victorious Voice Foundation 200 in that number 71 HendrickCars.com Chevrolet Silverado entry, fielded by Spire Motorsports. Now, as we know, Kaluth became the third African American to win in one of NASCAR's top ranks, joining Wendell Scott and Bubba Wallace, which, that's great company to be a part of for anybody, regardless of their color. But the fact that Roger got to do it at the age of 21, and he's this sim to reality racer. I know Brooklyn, she's been keeping an eye on him, and she wrote her first article about him, which she'll get into. But I'm just curious, Skye, what was the significance of Roger's victory on Friday night?
I mean, I think it's huge. And anyone who doesn't think it's huge is crazy because that just showed, like, I mean, as a woman in the NASCAR world, you don't get a lot of representation there. So seeing that, I don't know, seeing the places that the people that don't have a lot of representation make a place in NASCAR, be like, you know, we're here in numbers, we're coming. You know, like you said, he's a sim to reality racer. I mean, how many more? You know, how many people are coming up? I think that it's just for many ways, and not just him being, the third ever African American driver. I mean, like I said, the whole world of eSIM coming from that, I mean, that's a whole nother thing that we could get into in and of itself. I just think that it is such an important win. It came at such a great time, at such a great racetrack. I mean, Kyle Busch was in the field. I mean, did lap him. Like, everything about that win was just honestly incredible.
By the way, he couldn't party much because he had a test to get ready for. Because like many of us who've been to school, he has to grind away at college, right? So I
Super
mean,
relatable.
oh yes. I don't know if the professors excused him much on his
Hopefully they
test.
did. I mean, goodness, I would think if I would excuse anything as a teacher, like that would be it.
And he was well behaved for a 21-year-old in Las Vegas, because let's face it, when you're a young man in the city of sin, I mean, you want to do some fun things, but he had fun winning the race for sure, Brooklyn. So, I mean, besides the fact that he is the third African American driver to win, for Roger himself, and I know you've been watching what he's done throughout his career, I mean, how significant was this for him to win in his third start with Spire Motorsports and the connection he has with Mr. H?
Oh, this, I think it's so huge for him. I definitely have, I'm glad you brought up me kind of following him because I have been. He was actually the first person I wrote an article about for the podium finish. So that's kind of, I always enjoy when like keeping up with him and seeing what he's doing. But I think this is He, we've known his potential for a while now, but I feel like we're finally starting to see him live up to his potential, with the opportunities he's been given by Mr. H and Spire, and we're seeing him surrounded by the right people and just kind of getting experience under his belt and going to work and executing what we know he can do.
It was such a seminal moment, in my opinion, and we needed to have a good moment like that. And what's so neat too, is the fact that the Drive for Diversity program is absolutely working. I know it took a while for that program to really kick off and have success, but let's consider the fact I mentioned Wallace won a race, Kyle Larson won the most recent Cup race, Nick Sanchez won the opening race for the Truck Series at Daytona last month. And then Daniel Suarez won Atlanta in the Three Wide Thriller in the Cup race that everybody's still buzzing about. So it just goes to show, like, this initiative is really, really working. And I love that. The representation that you talked about, we need to see that. And I hope eventually we'll see women winning in NASCAR. We see it in the NHRA. We'd love to see that in IndyCar. I don't know about F1. I'm not going to get into that. But in NASCAR, I want to see it happen. And, well, speaking of, this coming race weekend, I know in the ARCA race, we actually have a bunch of women who are going to be trying to make the race. We've got Amber McLean, Tony Bredinger, Isabella Robusto trying to make her debut with Venturini Motorsports, and then Danica Dart from Washington State. How neat is that to see four amazing young women trying to be in the one of the top NASCAR ladder series and to race in front of basically the cup owners and drivers. That's a lot of pressure, but it's also really cool. So I hope we see that representation make it to cup. We see it in the pit crews already with Brianna O'Leary and Brianna Daniels, Liz Prestel as well, and of course Jennifer Keselowski, who's the wife of Brian Keselowski. I know she does some fueling from time to time in the truck series, but yeah, the diversity movement, it's alive, it's real, and we need to see it happen and succeed in every walk of racing. And that's kind of what makes TPF really fun, if I can toot my own horn here. So much representation, and we've got a lot of women that are talented and great roles, photographers, social media specialists, staff writers, staff editors. I would say a good 40% of our roster is women. And that's awesome. I want to success deliberately and initially, like initiate the success of women to be in racing. So it's not by design. I'm not doing it intentionally, but it's also kind of like, hey, I want to be a difference maker. And I hope we do that for sure. Now, let's get to the fun and sort of opinionated part of Podium Perspectives. So we'll hear from Brooklyn first and then Sky. Now, aside from Kyle Larson and Roger Carruth, who caught your eyes or your attention at Las Vegas for better or for worse?
Oh my goodness. Well, on the so for Xfinity, I mean, obviously Nemechek, I mean, just dominated that race. So I mean, he was you couldn't not pay attention to him. I mean, he's back. He's the same old John Hunter. For Cup, I was paying attention to obviously the five. I was watching the 12. I was watching Blaney. Hamlin. I picked Hamlin, and at one point I was texting you about, well, during a couple of the races, I texted you about my picks because we haven't gotten this far, but my picks did amazing. And I was like, did I actually get like a pick right on the money? But turned out he didn't end up, Hamlin didn't end up winning. So those are just a few of the people I was watching.
So I thought that I'm going to the positive route here, and Austin Dillon caught my eyes for the better. The three doesn't have a good track history. It's not he's not always running up front. He's not always Dillon isn't always competing to win races, but he showed a lot of speed this weekend. And I thought that also gives me a lot of hope for Kyle Busch because I was a little weary when he went to RCR. I was like, I don't know if that's a good move. Like, you're Kyle Busch, But seeing that, the three, a car that isn't usually up front, up in the top 10 and stuff like that's, I think, incredible. And I think that says a lot for RCR. And, Kyle was doing good too. He just had that big old pit penalty, but I'll get into that. Hello.
Oh, I felt so bad about Kyle. But yeah, I mean, Austin Dillon, everyone kind of ragged on him last month about, oh, he hasn't done anything. He's in panic button mode. But in Las Vegas, I mean, he got a decent 16th place finish, but he also had a 7th place finish in stage two. And that wasn't by luck. It wasn't by, like, oh, drawing some pitch strategy to get track position and gain some points. No, he really was legitimately good. And RCR as a whole, I'm really impressed with the Cup program turning around for sure. Now I'm gonna go and say to be on the positive route, the person that caught my attention was Carson Hocevar, because a lot of folks, when they looked at the rookie class, let's be honest, everybody was probably thinking, oh, Zane Smith is gonna get this by a mile, and then Hocevar second, and then when Kaz Grala gets to drive, yeah, he'll be all right. It's Rick Ware Racing. It's not the greatest ride, but it's a decent ride. But Zane Smith, past truck champion, oh yeah, he's got this. And it turns out that Zane's kind of having a very difficult rookie season so far, but hey, that's what happens sometimes when you make the transition from trucks to cup. It's not easy. And Carson Hocevar last year, when he got to drive Corey LaJoie's car with the whole Elliott suspension that after the Coke 600, and LaJoie drove the number 9 car, well, Hocevar got to drive Corey LaJoie's number 7 car, and before the mechanical issues hit him in turn one, where was Hocevar running? Oh yeah, inside the top 15 in his only Cup debut. I mean, that was just crazy to see how talented this Michigan driver was. And then when the 42 team went through the carousel of drivers, who happened to get the most starts in the last part of last year? Oh yeah, Carson Hocevar. And he didn't just show up, he showed up and raced. He was up front at Bristol, he was up front anywhere. I mean, I maybe Talladega, he had a bad race, but everywhere else, I could not ignore the number 42 car with him driving it. So to see him doing so well with Spire Motorsports, that makes me th say, yeah, he's caught my attention for better for sure. Now we're gonna have to get, unfortunately, to the opposite end, the Goody's Headache Powder Award. Now, this was an award that was held, or handed out rather, in the old days. When I say old days, I mean the 1990s. I know. That makes me sad. Yeah, I wish I had sound, like a choreographer who could do like wop 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 wop. But anyways, this isn't the award that usually goes to a hard luck driver or team that could use a hug. And we'll hear from Sky first and then Brooklyn. Who gets a Goody's headache powder for their headaches from Las Vegas and looks forward to going to Phoenix?
This is where I put Kyle Busch, because
Yeah.
as someone who is, he at this point he's a veteran, he's probably one of the strongest drivers in the field, both Kyles. To have like a penalty like that, that's such a, pitting outside the box is such a avoidable penalty, you should be hitting your marks. I know that there's a million things that go into it, every pit stop, but I don't know. Kyle Busch just had a tough break. I mean, he was doing really, really well. I think he led the second most laps on Sunday. It wasn't a lot because, like you said, it was definitely the Kyle Larson show. But Kyle led a lot of laps. I mean, he could have been in at the end, but to get a penalty like that just, I mean, and that late in the race, it was done at that point. There wasn't a whole lot you can do to overcome that.
For me, ooh, for the Goody's Headache Powder Award for this week, I'll give it to Kyle Busch, actually, because I felt like Kyle Busch, honestly, early on in the race, was probably the best Chevrolet next to Kyle Larson and William Byron. But unfortunately, pit road speeding penalties derailed his efforts in that number eight, that MGM Chevrolet. Again, kind of deprived us if it could have been a trio of cars battling for the victory, but we still had a good show. But if Kyle Busch was up there, that would have been something for his hometown fans to kind of feast their eyes on. And I felt bad seeing him get busted on pit road for speeding, and I was just like, man, once he had that happen, it was just too much of a deficit to make up. And his finish of 26 doesn't indicate how good he was all afternoon. It was super hard to make up track position, even if you got the lucky dog or the free pass. Because we saw it with William Byron. I mean, he was the second or third best car once they got that garbage bag removed from his grill. And he may have been 2 or 3 tenths faster than Kyle Larson. And yet he can only make up I looked at the scoreboard on Sunday. He was 27th, 23rd. And then 50 laps later, he's only the 18th. And I'm like, man, this is really bad. Like, he's got a great car, but it just goes to show once you make a self-inflicted mistake, it's super hard to overcome that in the Cup Series. And we got to witness that once Kyle Busch made that little boo-boo towards the end of the race. It was too bad because that's in front of his hometown fans. Well, I'm sure he wants to win in front of them in that number 18, but it's unfortunate it didn't happen. So yeah, he definitely deserves the Goody's Headache Powder Award. And I will add to that, I still think that if you have to give it to someone, I'd say Austin Cindric should get this as well. Because, and I'm sorry to say that for your guy, but it was so sad because he was so good in stage one. He was hanging in there in stage two before he got his own pit road penalty, and it just seemed like the penalties were just out in generous portions during the latter half of this race. Oh yeah, it was a tough day, and it's too bad because it's not like it was like last year Austin Cindric when he honestly was just out for lunch. This is Austin Cindric who has been new and improved. He's got Brian Wilson atop the pit box. They're gelling. They're like the Beach Boys of the '60s, getting hits after hits after hits. I know it's not the same Brian Wilson. Just roll with me. But it was just tough to see that because it was such a momentum killer after that. But we know that, next several weeks they are Austin Cindric type tracks. Phoenix could go anywhere. Bristol's typically a good track for Team Penske, and I always think of the two car because of Rusty Wallace and Bristol. And then once they get to my hometown race in COTA in Austin, we know Austin Cindric is excellent on road courses. But will it rain in Austin? Because it seems like, other than Vegas, rain follows us everywhere. And I'm just thinking, please, no rain, no rain, no rain. But I could make it an equalizer. But again, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But yeah, I would say, let's say Kyle Busch, Austin Cindric, and William Byron, all three just really could use a hug after what happened at Vegas. But we're moving on to Phoenix, and this is winning time here on Podium Perspectives. So this is where we get to name our picks for the races of the weekend. Now, we wouldn't do ARCA because Casey Campbell does a certain show that talks about ARCA. I'm just kidding. Casey Campbell's a good kid. But anyways, and a good journalist. Anywho, let's actually make some NASCAR picks. So ladies first, because I'm a gentleman. So we'll hear from Sky. We'll hear from Brooklyn. And then I guess me. We'll start off with the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Call 811.com every dig, every time. 200, won by Sammy Smith last year, and then a Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series Shriners Children's 500, in which William Byron hopes to defend that victory, because remember, he pretty much almost swept the entire West Coast swing. I guess you could say he has swept it because we don't have any more Auto Club. Yeah, I'm sad about it. But ladies first, so y'all take it away.
Alrighty, for my Xfinity pick, Sammy Smith did run good last week. But I'm gonna go with Chandler Smith for a Phoenix win. And then for Cup, Cup is always there. I have such a hard time with Cup. I mean, there are just so many of them. Let's and now I feel pressure because I did good last week.
Certainly did.
I think I'm trying to think about who did good last week because they're similar tracks. So let's go with I think Blaney's going to be able to get it out, get a win this week.
You read my mind. I was about to say something about a Penske driver, and so good choice right there.
So I have winning the Xfinity Phoenix race. I have Cole Custer. He was really close this past weekend. So, and I've looked at his stats from the Xfinity from since he's been down there, and he's done really well. So obviously, there's not a whole lot of stats there, but I don't know. I have some faith in Cole Custer. Like I said, he was good last week. I think that he's a really good chance this week as well. And then for Cup, I have the same one that won Phoenix the last time we were here, Ross Chastain. I feel like he's just been really good at Phoenix. He's just really good in general. But, Daniel Suarez has already won, so there's already been this party going on. I feel like it's not too much longer till he gets to be able to join in, smashing watermelons the whole nine with the rest of the Trackhouse team there.
There is something to be said about momentum and just having success at a track like Phoenix, and Ross certainly he embodies what Phoenix is all about. I call it a chaos track, and he is Mr. Chaos in a good way because he embraces it. So I think that's an excellent pick for Cup. And Cole Custer's not a bad one because obviously it worked out last year. He won the championship and he won the race. So I think that's a really solid choice of young drivers to win. Now let's go hear my picks because I'm gonna probably be off, and I know Brooklyn has been on fire with her picks, so don't listen to my picks unless you really want to be entertained. So for the Xfinity race, this is a tough one. I would love to say Sheldon Creed, but he just seems to be Mr. Bridesmaid all the time when it comes to the Xfinity series. So for me, this is really tough. I mean, I want to see somebody who's actually a regular, but I'm gonna go and be a party pooper and say John Hunter Nemechek wins on Saturday. Yes, that means that the Xfinity field will be hissing at him, but he doesn't care. He's gonna get another trophy for his little girl, which we saw in NASCAR Race Hub. She was super excited when her father won, and she was saying, "Dada, Daddy, Dada." And I was like, "Oh man, that's too cute. I can't get mad at him winning." So John Hunter Nemechek to win the race on Saturday afternoon in that Albertsons Toyota Supra. Now, as far as the Shriners Children's 500's concerned, this is going to be an obvious pick, and we'll probably release a video of the podcast because I want to showcase who we are. It's this gentleman right behind me, Kyle Larson. He's not going to hit me. I hope he doesn't, but I kind of think that it's going to be his afternoon. Now, we know last year and both the spring and the fall race, he didn't have the greatest long run pace. That's why William Byron beat him in the end. And, Kevin Harvick beat him. And Ryan Blaney was like, "Hey, buddy, thank you for giving me the second position." And then in the fall race, the picker did its job. It just wasn't the right car for Phoenix, and Larson struggled. But this is kind of a hometown race for him. He lives in Scottsdale these days, and he's got a lot of family and friends. We've got that sweet Valvoline-looking car out there. So, against the gas station pizza car of Joey Logano, I can see Sky over there going, "Oh, Shrek car, right? I'm wearing green too, so maybe I'm trying to, like, I don't know, give him some good luck. I still say Kyle Larson's gonna win, but it's gonna be so close. I mean, William Byron could obviously be really good, and I can't dismiss the Fords because for some reason I'm getting this inkling that the Ford Mustang Dark Horses are gonna be pretty good and tough at Phoenix because this is the first race with the new short track package, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe it's gonna be good. I don't know. Don't look at me. I'm not Bob Pockris. I don't go to every single test session like he does. Oh, by the way, belated happy birthday to Bob Pockris. He celebrated at Vegas, so hopefully whatever happened in Vegas stayed in Vegas for him. Ha 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 ha. But anyway, I'll go with Larson and Nemechek. So those are the most boring picks I've given, but what do y'all think? Did the ladies beat me on this one this week? Or do you folks at home, you keyboard warriors, as Mike Joey would say, did y'all come up with the right winning picks? Why don't you hit us up on socials at the Podium Finish? It doesn't matter if it's X, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, or even a smoke signal. Just hit us up. And if you happen to choose the two winning drivers for Phoenix, and you happen to get the ARCA pick, which you don't have to worry about. Just worry about NASCAR. If you get the two NASCAR picks right, we will personally send you a in-stock 2024 164 scale diecast car from spoilerdiecast.com, and it's on my tab. So just make it your worthwhile, folks. Now, before we get into the next segment of our show, let's hear from Noah Gregson about the keys to success about getting around Phoenix Raceway.
Phoenix is a fun racetrack, but it's challenging with both ends being different. That makes it a challenge for a driver and a team to get the car balanced right. You might be good on one side or the other, and vice versa, you might struggle on the opposite side so of the racetrack. With that being said, it's important to get the car dialed in during practice and get a good as good as you can on both sides and get the corners connected. So I like Phoenix. It's always a fun race. It's kind of like the one of the closest hometown races for me. A lot of fans that I've been able to make memories with and relationships over the past handful of years. I see him a lot in Phoenix as well. So that's always a lot of fun. The fan support's awesome there, and then it sets us up for the championship race, which is really important. So I think you might see a lot of guys trying stuff this first race every year, and then in order to learn something for the championship race, that's where everybody wants to get to, and have a good showing to end the year off. So it's a fun racetrack, challenging, and it's a fun city as well.
Now, before we close things out on our show, I do think it would be privy for us to talk with Skye and get to know her story a little bit because, hey, we want to get to spotlight our friends that are going to be on our program and on our website because Skye is going to be making her writing debut this weekend. So I'm super stoked about that. I'm excited to have my young Padawan around this whole season. So I know your story, but I do want the fans who listen to us to know your story. So I know you've been a lifelong fan, as you describe on your social media platform, but what's your first memories of NASCAR?
I mean, I don't know. I remember always just sitting up every Sunday with my dad. We would just post up in the living room and he would have it on. And, I go back and I watch some of the old races and I'm like, the quality was just so bad. But it's so nostalgic to see it like that, where you can barely, you're like, fingers crossed your driver isn't in a wreck because you can't make out any of the cars that are in the wreck. You're just waiting for the commentator to say, oh, Mark Martin made it out alive or whatever. So, but I went to my first race when I was six. I actually just found the car. I was going to do a video on it, but I went to Martinsville when I was six. Jimmie Johnson won the race. That was in his prime when he was getting ready to show everybody how it's done. Mark did not finish good. If I remember correctly, he finished like 21st or something, but it wasn't too bad. Being there was just a lot of fun. I mean, especially Martinsville. Martinsville is a really fast, the cars go by you every 2 seconds, So, especially being that young, it was just an amazing. Amazing time, and it really just hooked me into NASCAR.
That had to be such a sensory overload in a good way for you as a young 6-year-old girl watching this happen, because I can tell you with those older cars, they're just not that just loud, they're rock star loud. Like it's like going to a rock concert with a bunch of race cars around. Did you know back then like who your favorite driver was, or as a kid where you were just more like, oh, this is a cool experience, let me just soak it in and enjoy this time with my father?
Oh, no. I was a diehard Mark Martin fan. I remember the 2007 Daytona 500. My dad, first of all, I cried when I realized Mark had not won. My
Oh.
dad had shattered his phone. He was so mad. And that has sparked like a long just, well, I like Kevin Harvick now. I've come to peace with all the drivers. I like everyone. Everyone's on a clean field with me again. My dad, he can't let his Kevin Harvick hatred go because of that. He was like, that was Mark's race. They should have threw a caution. I'm like, you can't be mad at Harvick, you know? But no, I was definitely a really big, our family, we were just big Mark Martin fans.
He's such a class act, and I could he's so likable. I mean, he's one of those drivers where even if you had a different favorite driver, if that driver fell out of the race, you'd still keep your TV on just to hope to see if the six car or the 01 car would be the one that would win the race. And I think a lot of us, even if you're a journalist, we're on our seats kind of like, is he finally going to win the Great American Race? Is he going to finally do it? And like, he was leading the last lap, and that was one of the top 10 closest finishes in NASCAR history. And yeah, a lot of people are, it's talked about on social media, which I'm sure you are amazing with, by the way, that if you could change the second place finisher for that race, I think that's the most commonly brought up race, that Mark Martin should be the one that wins and Harvick can finish second. Do you tend to agree with that? I know you made peace with it. You said that you're cool with, but is there a part of you that's like, yeah, you know, if I could change history, I would have him win that race.
If I could go back, I'd tell NASCAR to throw that caution, man. You threw a car, like anything that would have just, I mean, yeah, Clint Boyer on fire, spinning out. Ugh. But at the same time, you know, I love Mark's reaction. I remember he said, like, you know, I finished second in the Great American Race. Like, I can't be mad, but it's like, we were mad for you, Mark.
Yeah.
Like,
Poor guy. I mean, you said that you watched the old races, you couldn't make those pictures. Well, I can tell you, when I used to watch him back in the day when I was a Jeff Gordon fan, year after year after year, he did everything you had to do to win the race, and then something silly would happen, like the wrong drafting partner or a loose lug nut that forced him to restart 27th, and he makes it to 7th place. Or a gear shaft breaks, or that, I don't know, some silly stuff that he doesn't have control of just takes him out. I talked about this with Taylor Kitchen from Above the Yellow Line, but I'm kind of curious, if Mark Martin won a championship or won a Daytona 500, does it kind of get rid of the legend of Mark Martin, or do you think it would keep him up there as one of the greats of NASCAR?
this is tough because the Mark Martin lover in me wants to be like, he deserves all the championships, all the 500s. But I don't know, there's something just about his story. I mean, to be as respected as you are, to be, you know, looked at as one of the best drivers and not have any of those big wins, I think is kind of cool in itself. And it kind of makes Mark Martin like who he is. I mean, he's so likable because he wouldn't, you know, wreck you to win. And I think that kind of, I don't know. I think that embodies Mark Martin pretty well. And I think that it's, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I would change it, I guess. I think I would just leave it how it is.
It's kind of like how Buffalo Bills fans may feel about Jim Kelly in the 1990s, where he made it to four Super Bowls in a row. And I know a lot of Bills Mafia fans are like, we wish he could have won in 1991 with the wide right field goal miss in the fourth quarter. But in a way, it established their legend. The same thing could be said about Dan Marino. You could say the same thing about Terry Labonte not winning Daytona, or Rusty not winning Daytona. In fact, Rusty Wallace had such a super speedway phobia. I think it was such a legendary thing in the 1990s where you're like, oh, Rusty can win anywhere, but if it's Daytona or Talladega, you know you can write him off, but he's still one of the great drivers. But Mark, it's such a interesting situation I thought about, and I thought you provided some interesting context for sure. The thing about Mark that I loved is not only his unique driving style, but the fact that when he knew he didn't have the car, he'd basically be like, hey, go past me, but I'll catch you later on. What do you think of that classy move, those classy moves that he would do on the racetrack like that?
I mean, that's one of the whole reasons I love him. It's just, and it's funny now that I'm a Logano fan that I said, because, you know, completely two different driving styles, but I don't know, like Mark was just extremely, he's one of those people. And I think I was watching a podcast, I can't remember if it was Dale Jr. or Denny Hamlin's, but they were talking about how there's born talent and then there's like, you know, practice talent. And I think that Mark Martin's just born talented. I mean, like you said, he'd let you go, but he'd be like, don't worry, I'm gonna be on your bumper here at the end of the race, you know? And I think that I don't know, that just contests who Mark is. And I think that maybe if he had been just a little more aggressive, it could change a lot of things, but I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's so tough when it comes to him because you want to give him the world, but at the same time, he kind of made it his own way. And I think that's kind of special.
And I just love the fact he's so visible these days on social media. Yeah, his son Matt's got those neat pictures he shows on Instagram, and we're seeing all these Lionel diecasts of his historical cars, and I'm just like, finally, this guy's getting the love that he's deserved that he didn't get in the 1990s because a certain driver named Jeff Gordon was just kind of stealing the spotlight. And I'm sorry, I was a Jeff Gordon fan, but we kind of stole some stuff from your guy, but
98.
Mark. Oh yeah, 1998. That's a year that I would say was so filthy wrong to have somebody who had the year that Mark had, because I think in any other season he's the champion, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Jeff had this like this ridiculous season that would seem very iRacing like. That I just to this day I talked about it with Jeff last year, and I'm like, I don't know where you got that in that energy from. But I always expected that every year after that, and I was unrealistic about how amazing that year was. And let's not forget that Mark was also just crazy good in 1998. But the one thing about Mark, he is always going to be Mr. IROC. And I remember a quote he said in 98. He's like, they must be doing something. They must be giving these races away because I don't deserve to win the IROC championships. And I was like, dude, you do. You're like the best in that series. Did you ever have a chance to watch those races back then as a kid, on TV, or did you even get to go to the IROC races in Virginia?
I've never got to go. I have seen him on TV. I've watched him more. Well, I was just a little too young to fully grasp it all, but like I watch him back now. You know, I get down my little rabbit holes of videos I watch. And yeah, Mark's just, I mean, a class act for his whole life. He just deserves every ounce of respect that he's shown from the fans, the garage, like everybody, because he's just a stand-up dude. I mean, he's worked for everything that he got. You know, the reason he was as good as he was is because he was just that talented. It wasn't that he was getting the best equipment or all this stuff. I mean, he was just that good in what he got.
He was. And the thing about him too is like he has so many different eras, and I love my favorite era is when he drove for Hendrick, because he came out of that retirement and drove full time starting in 2009 again, and he got to pair up with I think is the greatest quartet of drivers in NASCAR history. That was so neat to see him having those magical runs. He won the Southern 500, finished second again. I know that was hard to watch, but it is Mark Martin. And it was so cool to see him have that great year for sure. Now I want to talk more about you, because I compared you, well, off the record, I compared you to a friend of mine who was recently on our show, Caitlin Vinci, who's also from Virginia. And also like you, she balanced a lot of different things in the world to be in racing. So why don't you tell the folks at home a little bit about the Skye Twigg that we know today?
So yeah, I just, you know, I try to do a different route. I try to manage a lot of things with social media. You know, I like to embrace the fact that I am a girl. You know, I am a woman. I love being a woman. I love fashion. So, you know, I love to kind of take the modern, you know, different NASCAR shirts and merch and stuff that I have, but kind of girlify them, if that's a good word to use, to try to make them a little girly because, you know, that's who I am and that's what I love. I love that I can do that. I work a lot. I have two jobs because I'm grinding because I really want to pursue a career in NASCAR. So I've been trying to manage, you know, I work almost two full-time jobs. And then I just joined, you know, the podium finish, which I'm very excited about. And I'm very excited to get to learn just everything there is to know, especially from you, because it's been nothing but kind since I've met you, really. So I'm just, yeah, I don't know. I'm just a girl that loves NASCAR. And that's what I come back to when I see, you know, and I get all these new followers and a lot of not so nice comments and everything. I just try to come back to the fact that, you know, I'm just a girl that grew up loving NASCAR and like nobody can take that from me. No matter how many followers I get, how many hate comments I get, at the end of the day, I'm Skye. I'm a girl who loves NASCAR, you know?
And that's the way you ought to be, is just to be your real authentic self. And anyone else who opposes that or says anything not nice about you, they ought to know who you are before they open their mouths, or as Mike Joy would say, be a keyboard warrior. Because I'm really, it takes a lot for me to be impressed by anyone these days. And I can tell you, I'm very impressed by how you carry yourself on social media with your content. And I may not know how to do TikTok, but I'm just like, yeah, this is really cool. And I love your videos because, in a way, it reminds me of some of my favorite sports personalities. I think of, maybe these names may not be familiar to you, Sky, but I think of Kenny Mayne when he used to do RPM Tonight, because you have that sense of humor like him. And you also kind of remind me of Katie Nolan, who she'll say whatever's on her mind, and it's just really funny and authentic. She's not trying to be like forceful funny for the guys at the bar to laugh at. Like, she's just really like, I laugh at her tweets and I'm like, oh my God, that's funny. And I'm the dorkiest dork you'll know. I love the Denny Hamlin one the best. I don't know why. It just cracks me up. I mean, it might be an obvious question, but how do you come up with these clips?
I don't have any rhyme or reason. It just the Denny one is always funny to me. Here's some untold NASCAR Sky tea about that video. So what I tend to do with a lot of my TikToks is ideas will come to me in a million different ways. I could be just like if I'm driving, a lot of the time I'll be driving, I get zoned in and I'm like, oh, that's a really good TikTok video idea. But I'm not always TikTok face ready. I like to make sure I look good, have like some NASCAR merch on, stuff like that. So I'll pre-record the videos. Like if I'm like, I can't lose this idea. That way, then, later I can go back to it, see the draft, and then re-record it, have exactly the text I want to put and everything. I had a very bad migraine the night I recorded that Denny Hamlin video. And I was just laying in bed. And if you have migraines, you know how hard it can be to fall asleep sometimes. So even though it's dark, I'm not on my phone. It had like 2 hours. I had just been laying there, and it just came to me. I don't know how. And I was like, I gotta get up and I gotta record this. That's why the video is so dark and scary, because I was just in my room. I turned my TV on so I can get a video of myself, and I was just like, okay, get this idea. And then I got to work the next day, and I was like, good enough, and just posted it. And it was actually my first video to hit over 10K in one day, which was a huge milestone at the time. It just went off. It to this day is my most viewed video on NASCAR Sky.
It sounds like to me you didn't need that Goody's headache powder. That was a good migraine to have because it led to one of the most like popular videos you've done. And it's just the double entendre with it is just so funny. And we want to make it known that you again, you don't hate Denny Hamlin. You're just kind of making fun of the whole notion of him being
Yeah.
that word you use. I just think it's funny. I think the delivery of it was just so funny, in my opinion.
I had posted the video a little while ago, so when I reposted on Insta recently, I kind of forgot how funny it was, and I forgot the amount of reaction that it gets out of people, both good and bad. And I wouldn't even say bad, but both like people being like, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard, and being like, you know what, Denny's the best, leave me alone. So, which yes, I do. Denny is, I can respect him, I think he's one of the best, but when there's a joke, you gotta hit it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, it's a synonymous thing with him that he just doesn't close out championships, and there's a certain word we use in the sports industry. I'm not, again, like you, I'm not trying to hate on him. It's the reality, unfortunately, with
A
him.
little bit.
So, but I saw recently your Joey Logano video, which that one almost made me choke earlier before the recording because I just loved it. You're like, I'm a Joey Logano fan. So 2015. So 2015.
Yes.
Like, oh, tell me
That's
how
the
much
moment.
it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. Tell me about that one.
That is the number one comment I get is Martinsville 2015 Matt Kenseth. And so I was just poking fun because I love a good banter. I don't not all of my videos, because I do kind of I make fun of Joey Logano, and he's obviously one of my faves. I'll make fun of anybody if the opportunity presents itself. And I think that, I don't know, just a lot of people, they love to just come at me with the same. I'm like, come up with something original. That was the main point of that video. And funny enough, somebody commented scary noises and said, oh, odd numbered years. And I'm like, see, that's original. That's funny. I thought that made me chuckle, but I get Martinsville 2015 all the time. I get it. Matt Kenseth wrecked him. But guess what he did after Martinsville 2015? Homestead 2018, Phoenix 2022. So, and that's just my opinion.
Even years.
Not to you in number two.
No, I think
Good
it's
for
funny when,
24.
yeah, see, you're good. There you go. I just think it's funny when people get into the whole numerology thing, because that just goes to show, as human beings, how crazy superstitious we get. But it's like, it could have worked out for Logano last year. And it was just the fact that he got involved in the crash at Bristol. I mean, that could happen to anybody, but that was just a weird situation for him to get knocked out. And if it wasn't for that, he could have won a championship last year because obviously Blaney did it. So,
Definitely.
maybe one of these days he'll prove he can win an odd year,
Hopefully.
I would love to see a video about that for sure. Now, I'm just curious about. You talked about the creative process, like how you pretty much you pre-record and all of that. What has any driver reacted to your videos before?
Garrett Smithley has a few times. He's such a sweet guy. I left him out of a wheel one time when I was trying to do cup drivers, and I felt so bad. He commented on it and was like, "Where am I at?" And I felt horrible. So I did his own special video, and he was such a good troop about it. He's Ryan Vargas also a lot, which kind of fitting the TikTok. He was driving the TikTok car at the time. I actually, when I was in Richmond, he was like, "Oh, you're the TikTok girl," and I was like, "What? How do you know?" I actually had a few people. The one guy who ran, he ran NASCAR's TikTok. He knew me too, which I thought was like insanity. But I did get a lot of interaction with Chip Ganassi Racing back a couple years ago. So like Kurt and it was when Kurt and Ross were driving for them. They used to interact with me a lot too. But that's mainly the few ones. I've had a couple of drivers here and there, like Austin Cindric's liked a few posts and tweets of mine. I haven't got Joey or Blaney yet. I've been working for them, but I haven't got that far yet.
Well, maybe, just maybe, that will change later this year at a certain race called the Monster Mile. Because, word on the street is you might be at that race.
Yes, that, yeah, I will be there. I'm pretty hyped. I've never been to Dover before, so I'm really excited to go.
We just have to make that happen where they actually notice you. And then we get a little clip of them being in your TikToks and your Instagrams. Now, how unreal would that be to have them being a cameo or guest star with you in your clips?
I think it would be just so funny, honestly. That's kind of my goal. I feel like there's a whole market. TikTok wants to, or sorry, NASCAR wants to bring in this whole younger market, and I feel like they're missing just so much with social media. I mean, one of the things I loved about Team Penske, I used to do the Penske games. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those or not, but that was like revolutionary. And the fact that they don't do it anymore is like absurd because when I would watch that, I started to like drivers and other motorsports that I wasn't watching, IndyCar, because I got to know the drivers personally, and I think that helped so much. And I think that TikTok is, or NASCAR is just missing this market. I mean, if you want a younger audience, you got to go with, TikTok, Instagram. And I feel like that's kind of what I want to do is it's bring it, because I love NASCAR, and I force every single person I come in contact with, you're going to learn about NASCAR today, So I feel like, I don't know, this whole social media movement, I don't know, I feel like we got to get on it more for sure. And hopefully having some drivers in it would definitely be really cool.
See, I love that you talked about that because I'm probably the primary, like, well, not me. I'm not a, I mean, I love racing, but I'm a journalist first, then a fan. But it's safe to say that NASCAR kind of still thinks of the, I guess I'm a Gen Zer. That's weird to say, but you have to the millennial, but we have to remember the Gen Z folks, the kids that are here to watch NASCAR. They're not just watching on YouTube or watching going on X. They want to see interactions that are authentic, a little bit out of their comfort zone, and it's not going to compromise them. You're not going to make them say something stupid. It's more to have fun, right? Like to showcase their personality.
Exactly. I 100% agree. And I feel like if there was more of that, more of, why can't we? I've always wanted to do a thing where I just ask drivers like really just random questions, like fun question, you know, they're not expecting. They're used to all these hard-hitting, like, journalism, you know, all these questions about who's fighting who, what's doing, what's your car doing, da-da. Just hitting them with like a random funny question, I feel like could bring out just such a nice, relaxing, funny side, or who knows what it could bring out. And I feel like that just having that type of market and that type of reach would be just so valuable. And I want to get to know some of these drivers more, you know, especially the younger ones. Like, put them in front of a camera. Let me see them.
Oh, for sure. See, this is why we've brought Sky to the team, because I feel like this is where we could actually kind of, I don't want to say conquer NASCAR media. Maybe that's a little cocky, but tag team a little bit on it, because that's kind of my philosophy too, believe it or not, as a journalist, is to get them out of their comfort zone a little bit, make them have some fun and not just get a house of car running, once you like driver Mr. H.
Yeah, a million people are asking that. They're going to get asked that so many times over the weekend. There's definitely potential to, you know, I think that there is, you need to ask those questions. You know, they are there to race first and foremost, but having a little fun too, I feel like could do a lot for NASCAR. But I do think that they're doing pretty well right now. Viewership's been up.
Yeah, I love the NASCAR Netflix effect for sure. And we've seen that the ratings
Yes.
have actually climbed up for a change, which is good to see. But yeah, this is the conundrum that NASCAR is in, is what direction does it want to move in? And if it does move towards the younger generation, it's not just taking it to Dodger Stadium, which was a rumor that Adam Stern talked about, which we'll talk about next week once we get some more information about it. But it's about the whole. There's a plot, like you said, there is an ice cream waiting in that freezer for them to go and take out and take some scoops up, but they just haven't opened the damn container up. So it's like, come on, just do it already. And if they do, we would be rocking right now. Like, oh.
Because I think that, and it's, you know, love it or hate it, the playoff format is designed to be, you know, entertaining. And I feel like younger generations, like that's what they're used to. Most of them, they watch football, you know, stuff like that. Like, if we could just show them, hey, NASCAR is like that too. Again, whether you love or hate the playoff system, we can't fight it. NASCAR is keeping it in place. And no matter what, I mean, NASCAR is going to do what NASCAR wants to do, you know? So, I feel like if we could just get people in and be like, you know, it's not just left turns. And even when it is just left turns, it's amazing left turns, you know?
Exactly. There's just so much intrigue and drama that goes into it. And also the mental aspect of it too, because there's always gamesmanship. There's the human aspect, because let's not forget, we're in their workplace. It's just like if we got to visit Sky where she works, or you come to my house, which I'm not going to say where I live because that'd be kind of creepo. I mean, I'll tell you, but I won't tell everyone else where I live. You would probably get to know how what I do behind the scenes, and I'd probably be like, oh, I gotta get this post up. I've gotta work on this blog post. Oh, I've gotta email this person. And it's just like just so much that goes on besides just seeing the obvious actions. But let's make a pact for this season. I want you to send me questions that I could personally ask these drivers, and I will actually try to kind of open the door for them to see if they would be open to some Sky Twig questions. So just saying, I'm open to that.
Perfect.
But hopefully you and I get to work a race together at some point this year, because I feel like there is the potential to do some revolutionary things to make racing even more fun and more appealing to younger folks for sure. And before I wrap up this sort of impromptu, I put you in the hot seat type of interview here. Any shout outs you want to give? Tell fans where they can find you on socials besides the podium finish.
Yeah, so you can find me everywhere, but well, I should say Instagram, TikTok, and X or Twitter, whatever we're calling it nowadays, all at NASCAR Sky, spelled the same, SKY, no E. Any shout outs? I mean, let's just hope the Fords can figure it out and break this Chevy momentum we got going because I miss some Fords in the victory lane.
I happen to drive a Ford, so I
Me
mean,
too.
I guess I should try to be a little bit supportive of the Ford Performance Company brand, but we'll see. I think this could be a good weekend for them, and try to break that, like you said, the stranglehold by Chevrolet. So only time will tell, and that's why we watch all 312 laps. Oh God, I hope we don't have an overtime. I probably just jinxed the Sky. I'm sorry.
I don't know
It's
what you
just how
said.
it is.
I don't know what you said.
Overtime.
Oh.
That was dramatic effects. She doesn't want to have overtime either, folks. No, I'm kidding.
No. Okay, no. No, honestly, though, I don't mind overtime because I don't know. I'm all for exciting racing. May the best person come out on top, you know?
You embrace the chaos. You're like the Elmo meme with the fire behind Elmo. You're like,
Yes. Some of our best products come from chaos.
I am more of the, oh dear Lord, let's just get to the scheduled distance. Go to
Yeah, no,
Sunday.
I totally understand. I like I said, as long as I got wheels on the ground, I'm happy.
I'm with you on that, my friend. So you'll hear a lot from Sky on our show because she'll be on the podcast and you'll see her on Instagram and TikTok, which I need to get on doing finally and not just lip syncing to country songs that will get me in a lot of trouble with the record companies. But it's so fun to have you on, Sky. I'm so excited. I seriously can't wait for the rest of this year just because I feel like this new energy that we have at TPF is it's so contagious. I love what you're bringing to the table already, and you haven't even written your first article yet. So wait till we get to that point. I'm it's like proud big brother moment for me, I'd say.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
I am too. And like I said, shout out to Jenny for making that recommendation. I do listen to her, contrary to what some folks may think about men with women, but I value what my friends say, and she's a great friend, and she made a great recommendation. So shout out to our homie in PA
Yes,
on
thank you.
that. So I think this is a good spot to go and wrap up our show because we have to get ready for Phoenix, unfortunately. I should say unfortunately. Is that unfortunate? Fortunately.
No, yeah, well, let's go.
Let's go. That's right. So we're gonna get ready for some Phoenix action and then we'll get ready for Bristol. So with that, it's time to go wrap up episode 107 of TPF Live. So for Brooklyn Jackson and Sky Twig, I'm Rob Tiongson saying thanks so much for tuning in to TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. Check out our previous 106 episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. For next week's episode, which is the post Phoenix pre-Bristol edition, we'll have a very special hot seat guest who I can't wait to have on our show for the very first time. Let's just say that it's a very, very special interview that you should not miss. But as I always like to say, let's all go get the checkered flag, and until next time, so long, everybody!